shortens his walk, pauses turned up in the wrong places. "You hear about things quickly, sir."
"A salute is generally in order, Sergeant."
"I don't see anything to salute, sir," said Vimes.
"Good point. Good point. You are new, of course, but you see, we, in the particulars, often find it necessary to wear plain clothes."
"Like rubber aprons, if I recall correctly," thought Vimes. Aloud he said, "Yes, sir." It was a good phrase. It could mean any of a dozen things, or nothing at all. It was just punctuation until the man said something else.
"I'm Captain Swing," said the man. "Find the Swing. If you think the name is amusing, please mark, and get it over with. You may now salute."
Vimes saluted. Swing's mouth turned up at the corners very briefly.
"Good. Your first night in a hurry-up wagon, Sergeant."
"Sir?"
"And you're here so early. With a full load, too. Shall we take a look at your passengers?"
He glanced in between the ironwork.
"Ah, yes. Good evening, Miss Palm. And an associate, I see. Aide du crochet. And what appear to be some party-goers. Well, well."
Swing stood back.
"What little scamps your street officers are, to be sure. They really have scoured the streets. How they love their little jokes, Sergeant."
Swing put his hand on the wagon door's handle, and there was a little noise which was nevertheless a thunderclap in the silence, and it was the sound of a sword moving very slightly in its scabbard. Swing stood stock still for a moment, and then delicately popped the pastel into his mouth.
"Aha! I think that perhaps this little catch can be thrown back, don't you, Sergeant? We don't want to make a mockery of the law. Take them away. Take them away."
"Yes, sir."
"But just one moment, please, Sergeant. Indulge me. Just a little hobby of mine."
"Sir?" Swing had reached into a pocket of his overlong coat and pulled out a very large pair of steel calipers. Vimes flinched as they were opened up to measure the width of his head, the width of his nose, and the length of his eyebrows. Then a metal ruler was pressed against one ear. While doing this, Swing was mumbling under his breath. Then he closed the calipers with a snap and slipped them back.
"I must congratulate you, Sergeant," he said, "in overcoming your considerable natural disadvantages. Do you know you have the eye of a mass murderer? I am never wrong in these matters."
"No, sir. Didn't know that, sir. We'll try to keep it closed, sir," said Vimes. Swing didn't crack a smile.
"However, I'm sure that when you have settled in, you and Corporal Hamster here will get along like a house on fire."
"A house on fire, yes, sir."
"Don't let me detain you, Sergeant Keel."
Vimes saluted. Swing nodded, turned in one movement as though he were on a swivel, and strode back into the watch house. Or jerked, Vimes considered. The man moved in the same way he talked, in a curious mixture of speeds. It was as if he was powered by springs. When he moved a hand, the first few inches of movement were a blur, and then it gently coasted until it was brought into conjunction with whatever was the intended target. Sentences came out in spurts and pauses. There was no rhythm to the man. Vimes ignored the fuming corporal and climbed back onto the wagon.
"Turn us round, Lance Constable," he said. "Good night, Henry."
Sam waited until the wheels were rumbling over the cobbles before he turned wide-eyed to Vimes.
"You were going to draw on him, weren't you?" he said. "You were, Sarge, weren't you?"
"You just keep your eyes on the road, Lance Constable."
"But that was Captain Swing, that was. And when you told that man to prove he was Henry the Hamster, I thought I'd choke. You knew they weren't going to sign, right, Sarge? Because if there's a bit of paper saying they've got someone, then if anyone wants to find out..."
"Just drive, Lance Constable."
But the boy was right. For some reason, the unmentionables both loved and feared paperwork. They certainly generated a lot of it. They wrote everything down. They didn't like appearing on other people's paperwork, though. That worried them.
"I can't believe we got away with it, Sarge."
"We probably haven't," Vimes thought. "But Swing has enough to worry him at the moment. He doesn't care very much about a big, stupid sergeant." He turned and banged on the ironwork.
"Sorry for the inconvenience, ladies and gentlemen.